So I also don't have any relationships to disclose. Our project, similar to Rogers and a little bit different from some of the other states, is that we were very community focused in one community in New York State. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with New York, but when we say New York, everyone automatically assumes New York City. So to put this into perspective, it's on the complete other side of the state, along Lake Erie. Just to kind of give people a perspective for that. But the project aim was to increase breastfeeding exclusivity and duration from hospital discharge through 3 months among low-income women eligible for WIC and Medicaid who live in communities of color in Erie County. And when we were talking about this project, what we really looked at was the continuum of care. So in New York, we had a very robust WIC program. We have peer counselors in every WIC agency in New York State. And we also have a lot of work focused on hospitals because New York State has, and New York City have among the highest rates of formula supplementation for breastfed infants of all the 50 states. So we had been focusing for a very long time or number of years in those two areas, but really needed to focus on what happens before women come into the hospital and then how we can best support women after discharge. And so focusing just on the one county allowed us to give a little bit more infrastructure to a place that was doing some pretty good work to begin with. So why Buffalo or Erie County? Like I said, they did have an existing infrastructure and focus. Through the University of Buffalo, they had an established early childhood obesity prevention committee that met regularly, and they formed what was at one point in time called the Western New York Healthy Lifestyles Coalition. They actually changed their name to Healthy Start, Healthy Futures. Buffalo and Erie County itself has a high proportion of communities of color. There's a significant immigrant population among 32% of all upstate resettlements are located in the Buffalo area. 29% of the population in Buffalo lives below the poverty line. And it's one of the lowest ever breastfed rates for women enrolled in WIC. But we had 14 community-based organizations who we determined to be eligible to receive funding and were eager and willing to participate in this initiative. So just briefly, what you can see here is a look at ever breastfed and then our formula supplementation rates. So the blue is Healthy People 2020. The yellow is New York State, excluding New York City. The purple is New York City. And then the green is Erie County. So what you can see is that in Erie County, we do have lower rates of women who are ever breastfed compared with New York State and New York City. But we also have, in turn, so lower rates of initiation, but also lower rates of formula supplementation when compared with New York City and the rest of the state. Still, formula supplementation of breastfed infants in Erie County is above the Healthy People 2020 goal. That's just a description of that. And then this actually shows infants breastfeeding at 3 months when compared with the rest of the state and Healthy People 2020. So what you can see is that overall Erie County has a little bit higher proportion of or higher percentage of women enrolled in WIC who are exclusively breastfeeding at 3 months when compared with the rest of the state. But the rest of the state also is inclusive of New York City's WIC department. So for this grant, we had five objectives that span from prenatal care all the way through to essentially women returning to work. So the first objective was to really have this groundswell in Erie County and expand the Western New York Healthy Lifestyles Coalition, which is now called the Healthy Start, Healthy Futures, to include all of the organizations that focus on improving breastfeeding support in communities of color in Erie County. So that they meet bimonthly. All 14 organizations are active participants in that. Every bi-monthly meetings. We're represented as the state health department. On the agenda every month is this grant, so they do talk about their success to date. We also funded one primary organization to really be kind of the lead organization in that area. It's called the P2 Collaborative, so they're really kind of the convener of the other 13 organizations. We also wanted to incentivize a little bit some of the prenatal and pediatric care that we're doing in that area. So we wanted to increase from 0 to 5% the proportion of OBGYN and pediatric practices that serve Medicaid-eligible women and their children who achieve the New York State Department of Health breastfeeding-friendly practice designation. And this is something that was brand new, established and funded for underneath this grant was the breastfeeding-friendly practice designation. It's still going through the approval processes at the department, but what we did was created a virtual learning network among the practices. So they come every month for monthly webinars, collaborative sharing. We also established a 10 steps to a breastfeeding friendly practice in New York State. We've promoted the use of Massachusetts provider education, so we're very appreciative of that. And then we also have an implementation guide. So each one of those 10 steps has some improvement strategies that the practices can work through to achieve the step. And then in order to be designated, they have to complete a self-assessment, submit us a policy, and then a post-assessment. So we're in the very infancy stages of that. What's nice about it is that we have about 15% of the practices. That's 14. So it seems like we've reached our goal, but I don't want you to think it's like 150 practices that we have out there. So we do have a large number of practices in New York State. Also, which is not on this slide, federally qualified health centers and family practice. Family physician practices are also eligible. We're actually spreading this work through our obesity prevention and pediatric healthcare settings to align with some of our new funding. So this is actually one of the things that will be sustained once the funding for this project ends. We also looked at home visiting. We had a large number, I think five, community-based organizations that provided home visiting resources for women in the Erie County area. So we wanted to really increase the proportion who streamlined and created a system to provide a little bit of better support. All of those organizations had different visiting schedules. Some were, even the referral systems were a little bit different and diverse among the different organizations. That's still something that we continue to work on with the hospital. So that's been a little bit of a challenge. But what we wanted to do was really make sure that women had a visit within 24 to 48 hours of being discharged so that they felt like somebody was coming, that they didn't have these feelings of giving up, and that they really had this extra support for them during those vital times. And then 2 weeks and then 4 weeks after discharge. And the reason why we selected 4 weeks after discharge was that many women start to return to work at 6 weeks, and as part of our ERA funding from the CDC, we created a Making It Work toolkit, which actually focused based on focus groups from WIC mothers and WIC participants on how to talk with employers about lactation support needs in the workplace. And so that's available. It's specific for New York, but I think everything that's included in there could really speak to populations at large. So that's available on the WIC breastfeeding website, which is breastfeedingpartners.org. Our fourth objective was to increase the number of licensed child care centers and daycare homes that achieved breastfeeding-friendly child care designation. New York State, through the Child and Adult Care Food Program, had a breastfeeding-friendly child care designation. And so this actually just enhanced that a little bit. We were able to fund the Child Care Resource Network out in Erie County to actually do visits. So it allowed us to look at the self-assessment that they have to do for CACFP and ensure that what is being reported on that self-assessment is actually being implemented in either the center or the home. Right now, I think we have a total of 200 new centers and homes from this initiative, and they're actually looking at expanding that breastfeeding-friendly child care designation to outside of CACFP, but right now it's very specific to CACFP providers. And then finally, we had no baby cafes in the Erie County area or in New York at all. So to increase the number of baby cafes or breastfeeding drop-in centers in both faith and community-based organizations from 0 to 5, and we actually have 6 operating baby cafes at this point in time. Different tiered levels. I don't know how many people are familiar with the baby cafe model, but there's different levels of that. So some are staffed by an IBCLC, some are staffed with CLCs with an IBCLC backup. So it's a mixture of the baby cafe models that are in Erie County. And then just to wrap up, a couple of lessons learned was to have some very engaged community-based organizations. And we established a system to really connect those community partners through funding that lead organization. But again, as Roger had mentioned, some of the challenges are the limited funding period and the sustainability plans for some of these objectives. So I also am not one person, and we don't do this work alone. So I'd like to not only acknowledge my colleagues at the health department, but also the 14 community-based organizations that we work with in Erie County. That's it. Oh, my contact information is there. Anyone need?
The self-assessment and the for the practices, yes. Designation is really interesting. Can you tell us more about that? Is it available for export?
As soon as it's approved, we will have it available for export. What it actually looks at is it takes those 10 steps, and we had, for each of these objectives, we had subcommittees that met. So we used a whole bunch of different models. We used things from Canada and other areas that we came across, but we met as a group and took what would be almost the high leverage changes or what we felt would be the most important things to implement in a practice to become designated. So I can give you a snapshot. Some of those things include in creating breastfeeding friendly environments, is eliminating all formula marketed materials, formula samples at dish in the office, looking at establishing a system to have vitamin D prescriptions for the pediatrician offices per the AAP protocol, providing staff training, having a policy, having a breastfeeding champion, and identifying who that breastfeeding champion is within the practice. So there is a number of different things, and I'll be happy to share that as soon as we get the approval signed off. Right now, they're in the process of testing it out. We've had some challenges with that because we needed to really put the ship in the water, so to speak. So the rollout has been a little bit hectic. We're kind of pulling back a little bit and working with them now where they give us the self-assessment and we really work with them through that. And we've been able to see where some have completed some of the steps, and so we're kind of looking at how what they did and having them share collaboratively with the other practices. So, yeah, it's been very hard, very challenging.
When you objective 4, the breastfeeding,
yeah.
You mentioned the 200 designated.
Yeah. No, we achieved our goal for that. I think the plan, and I don't remember offhand, was about to increase by 100. So we actually doubled our goal. And that was because we had people going out and actually doing the recruiting. So So that was one of the real successes to that piece. We had someone going in, recruiting practices and homes, doing an assessment right there with them. And so they were able to sign up, I think, like 50 or 52 in the first month. It was pretty amazing. But yeah, that's how that was successful. Yes? They do get a certificate. Yeah, they do get a certificate, and they're listed on the DOH website, and then they're also receive like a little decal that says breastfeeding babies welcome here. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Right. A lot of it has really been focused on right inside Buffalo and like the surrounding areas, but because of the location of the baby cafes and some of the touch points, we funded the two large health systems there to establish baby cafes and do breastfeeding friendly practices. So we're able to have touch points at all of the major, sisters in Kaleida.